It's his third multi-hit game of the season, though. Leading the team in multi-hit games, it's a tie between a couple of first-half players in Mason Onyade and Noah Ruiz. So waiting for the second-half players to catch up and, well, could be seeing Junior Barajas or Hayden Carlson join that list pretty shortly. But that's not who's up. Nick Adrian, an 0-1 count. He fouls it off to make it 0-2. Adrian 0-for-3 in the game so far. It has not been his day. Trying to stay patient from the plate, and that's been the focus for Adrian, but even still, while he's able to work the count further, he hasn't been able to get on base as much as he would have liked. 0-1 count with the runner on first. Kobayashi is willing to take off, but doesn't need to as Adrian sends this one into left field. That's back-to-back hits to lead off the eighth inning for the Rafters. And Hiroto Kobayashi moves to second while Adrian goes to first. So not too bad for the Rafters as Keaton Fenn has now allowed his third hit of the game for the Rafters. He allowed a single from Arusevic. And the only guy that he's retired, Hayden Carlson, ended that seventh inning. Brings up Royce Clayton Jr. to the plate with runners on first and second and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. Rafters down 7 runs, though, and the first pitch is in there for a strike to Royce Clayton Jr. 91-mile-an-hour fastball from Keaton Fenn, so he's certainly got some juice on that ball. 0-1 count to Clayton, still looking for that first hit of the game. 0-1 count and a check swing that he went around on, and that's strike number two. Clayton not quite able to hold up, and that's what you're kind of waiting to see from him, is holding up on those check swings right now. Been getting better with his plate discipline and which pitches that he swings at. Striking out a little bit less as of late, but now down in the count 0-2 and sends this one up the middle, and oh man, nearly caught out of the air, but instead it drops to the ground, throw over to first just in time. Keaton Fenn back on the mound had the ball come straight back and he was turned around, it dropped into his glove and he wasn't able to hold on to it, fell out. Of course, he wasn't looking at the ball when it came back to him, and so not able to make the catch, but he picked it back up off the ground, threw it over to first, nearly took first baseman MJ Sweeney off the bag, but he was able to make the play. So it's a 1-3 putout as Nick Adrian advanced to second and Hiroto Kobayashi went over to third. Man, if that wasn't for Keaton Fenn, that probably would have gotten up the middle and into center field. Now Carson McIntyre at the plate takes the first pitch in. That's called a strike. 0-1 the count to Carson McIntyre. McIntyre 1-for-4 on the game. And with an 0-1 count, he's got runners on second and third. Rafters down 9-2 and would love to see some runs. That time the pitch is called inside for ball number one. 1-1 the count, and McIntyre, his last time up, flew out to center field on one that, man, it was oh so close to leaving the park, but Jordy Lopez able to track over to it. 1-1 count. It's off the inside of the bat towards right field. Dropping it will get over the glove of the second baseman and into right field. An RBI single as Hiroto Kobayashi scores from third. Nick Adrian replaces him on the bag, and the Rafters slowly cutting back into this one. The offense has been clicking in the seventh and eighth innings. Trying for it not to be too little too late. RBI from Carson McIntyre. Sends, like I mentioned, Nick Adrian over to third. Now runners on the corners with only one out in the bottom of the eighth inning. Eric Harper, the right-handed hitting second baseman, up to the plate. And he is 1-for-2 in the game. He's reached base 3 times already. First pitch on the way, it's fouled back to make it 0-1. And Harper, with the explosions of Junior Barajas and Hayden Carlson, he's kind of been, well, disregarded in a way, I feel like. I haven't talked about him enough. He's been off to a very strong start to his Raptors career. Fouls this one back and out of play is now the count 0-2 for Harper. He had a hit in each of his first two games, and really just yesterday's game brought that average down, going 0-5. But he's reached base three times in this one. Two walks and a single. Pitch on the way home, misses high for ball number one as Carson McIntyre thought about going over to second. Rafters down 9-3. In a lot of situations like this, the Rafters would try sending that runner from first base to second to see if they could force the throw down. 1-2 count. Breaking ball, misses high for ball number two. 2-2 the count. However, in this situation, the Rafters need six runs to come back into the game, so they're trying their best to make sure that they've got as many opportunities to score as possible. Don't want to waste outs. 2-2 count, swing and a miss, strike number three from Eric Harper, and unfortunately that not what the Rafters had wanted as he goes down with the K. Brings up Junior Barajas to the plate with runners on the corners and two outs in the bottom of the eighth inning. Barajas continuing to stay red hot for the Rafters. He hit the no doubt home run to right field over 400 feet. Trying to stay hot at the plate, takes the first pitch away for ball number one. He is 2-for-4 on the game with a pair of RBIs from the two-run shot that he had. But he also singled in the fifth inning. Lefty-righty matchup with the man on the mound, Keaton Fenn. The 1-0 count, misses outside again. 2-0, and that home run did not come off of Fenn. It actually was off of Drayton Liu. Those were the only two runs that Liu would allow. But now runners on the corners for Keaton Fenn. And the 2-0 count again outside, 3-0, and the Rafters really trying to put some pressure on the Mallards. It's still a six-run Mallards lead in the bottom of the eighth. But the Rafters, with Junior Barajas, and I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but another home run from him, certainly in the books. 3-0 count. He's going to take that one all the way and watch it miss low for ball number four. And now it brings up Madden Akko to the plate. And Akko has the bases loaded with two outs here in the bottom of the eighth. But before that, a mound visit as the Mallards will talk things over because they have some things to discuss. Carson McIntyre is on second base. Junior Barajas is on first. And on third base, it's Nick Adrian. Rafters down six runs, but that means that the tying runner is now in the hole for the Rafters. Despite entering this inning down seven runs, they are certainly putting pressure on. It's not quite in the spot where you're looking at a spot where the Rafters are right in it just yet, but say Akko was able to hit a single here or draw a walk, that puts the tying runner on deck, means it's a save situation for whoever the next pitcher would be. That's what you're looking at right now, and the Rafters just trying their best to keep the offense rolling here. They scored two runs in the seventh inning on Barajas' two-run shot. They scored one in this inning on Carson McIntyre's RBI single, and now it's up to Madden Akko. Righty-righty matchup, though, with the bases loaded and two away. First pitch outside for ball number one. 1-0 count. Akko, 0-for-2 in the game, but he's reached twice, both on hit-by-pitches. He was hit by a pitch in the seventh and in the fifth innings. Those were his last two times up. 1-0 count on the way home. This one's a grounder towards third, and that's going to end the inning. Five unassisted fielder's choice, and that is a tough way to get out of this one. The Rafters just the one run on three hits. There were no errors, and the Rafters left three on base. The left on base is getting racked up for the Rafters. 13 runners left on base through eight innings and only the three runs scored. We head to the top of the ninth. Rafters down 9-3 here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
What is dedication? The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. A little bit of a late start into this inning, and, well, in the top of the ninth, Rafters down 9-3. Leadoff man got hit by a pitch. A.J. Buonasetta back out there for Wisconsin Rapids. Will Johannes onto first base, and he's on for the second time today. Back to the top of the order, Jordy Lopez now has a 2-0 count with the runner on first, and this pitch high for ball number three is... Buonasetta really struggling with his location here and, well, trying to bring it back in. Not too bad of a eighth inning for him. Had two up, two down as a reliever coming in for Jafet Martinez. 3-0 the count as Buonasetta takes his time. Now brings home the pitch on the outside edge. Called for strike number one. 3-1 the count. Buonasetta coming over to the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and looking a little bit more in depth at him. He is one of the new guys in the second half. Comes over from Golden West College. 3-1 count coming home, and that one is high and outside for ball number four. Back-to-back free passes as Jordy Lopez draws the walk following up Will Johannes's hit by pitch. So now runners on first and second. With nobody out in the top of the ninth inning, Rafters down 9-3. And up at the plate now, the right-handed hitting shortstop, Dom Jacoby. And the first pitch called for strike number one. So an 0-1 count. And Jacoby looking to drive in some more runs. The Mallards already up 9-3. Here in the ninth inning, the Rafters did threaten a bit But, man, it's been tough leaving runners aboard as that pitch misses outside, 1-1 count. And they've had plenty of opportunities with runners in scoring position. 1-1 the count as Ponicetta looks home and looks back towards second. Now brings it on the way. This one sent into right center field, and that gets down for a hit. Into the gap, Kobayashi trailing over to it. He'll throw it into second, but it is not in time as it's an RBI double for Dom Jacoby. Extends the lead back up to 7 runs for the Mallards. It's now 10-3 in the top of the 9th inning. And man, the Mallards right now, they are getting everything that they need. Will Johannes scored from second on that one. And now A.J. Buonasetta looking to get back to work here. He'll be taking on the right-handed hitting third baseman, Mikey Bell, with nobody out and runners on second and third here in the top of the 9th. 10-3, and a check swing. Did he go? No, he didn't. It missed inside for ball number one. 1-0 the count, and after Mikey Bell went 0-4 in the game yesterday, he started this one off 0-2, but picked up his first hit back in the 8th inning. A leadoff single, and still nobody out in the top of the 9th inning. Buonasetta trying to work out of it. 1-0 the count. Pitch coming home. It is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. 1-1 the count. Daniel Rogers is on deck. So, That's all you have to say. Mikey Bell, though, at the plate, and you're going to try and retire him. Bell, I want to call him Cowbell like they did for the Space Cows game. As that pitch misses outside for ball number two, a 2-1 count. I tell you what, every time the Rafters are in Madison, it feels like they're an alternate identity. And what I was told is actually later in the season when the Rafters return to Madison, they will again be an alternate identity. Same one that we saw last night, the Madison Neverminds. 2-1 count is fouled back and out of play. 2-2 the count now. And it's always fun to see the alternate identities, but when I'm in Madison, I want to see the Mallards play. I feel like I've only seen them play one time this season. I think we're going to see more times that Madison is in an alternate identity at the Duck Pond than they're playing as the Mallards themselves. 2-2 the count. On the way home, check swing from Bell. Did he go? No, he didn't. Barely held back, a 3-2 count. Tony Torres once again warming up for the Rafters. He was warming up a little bit earlier in the game. Now making sure that A.J. Buonasetta is able to get through it. Runners on second and third, and a 3-2 count on the way to Bell. Pitch comes home, and it's sent out towards right field. Kobayashi running back to it at the warning track. Now he'll run in and touch the grass, throw it back in, but it's deep enough that both runners will advance. Sacrifice fly for Mikey Bell, his first RBI of the game, and it makes it now 11-3 Madison in the top of the 9th. Dom Jacoby advanced over to third base on that, and Jordy Lopez scores from third. Now Daniel Rogers up at the plate for the 6th time this game. He's already reached 4 of his 5 plate appearances. 2-2 the count to him is on the outside edge, called for strike number one. Now, on the bright side for the Rafters with Daniel Rogers, they haven't allowed a home run from him yet. So that's something. Rogers has a double, a single, a hit by pitch, and a walk, though. So 4 different ways to work on the base. 0-1 count to him. Misses outside for ball number one. 1-1 the count. And Rogers did ground into a 3-6-3 double play back in that 4th inning. But he went 3-for-5 in the game prior back against the Rafters last night. And on the season, it's been some good stuff to say the least. As that pitch misses outside for ball number two. So a 2-1 count. And on the season, Daniel Rogers, after his now 2-for-3 game on tonight, he is 13-for-18 on the season. 2-1 count. This one's ripped into right field. And how about another hit for Daniel Rogers? He drives in another run here in the ninth inning. An RBI single from Daniel Rogers. That's his third hit of the game and first time that he's repeated a result, as that sends Dom Jacoby home from third base. And it makes it a 3-run ninth inning. And with that, a call to the bullpen, as it is 12-3 Madison in the ninth inning. And the Rafters trying to keep it a 9-run game and trying to make it not 3 straight double-digit losses. And, well, we're going to have to go ahead and hit a quick break here. When we come back, more Rafters baseball for you here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Well, hello and welcome back into Rafters baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. And, well, safe to say, not the game the Rafters were hoping for back in front of their home faithful as they trail 12-3 here in the top of the ninth inning and have to move to a new pitcher after A.J. Buonasetta's night is over. And Buonasetta ends the game going one full inning of work after he came in to relieve Jafet Martinez. And Martinez, his line was final as well. Realized I never gave that to you, and so we'll do two at once. But before we do that, we will introduce the new pitcher for the Rafters, and it is indeed Tony Torres. And Torres coming in, he is one of the higher totals of appearances this season for the Rafters. He's appeared in plenty of games for Wisconsin Rapids this year. In total, he has made now 17 appearances after this one, leads the team in games pitched, and he's got 16 innings pitched out of the bullpen. Has a runner on first base with one away and a grounder over towards first. Picked up by Barajas. 3-6, back to 3, and it's the second 3-6-3 double play of the game, and they called him off the bag. Well, maybe he didn't catch the ball at first or dropped it. I didn't. From what I saw, he stepped on the bag with the ball. And, well, we're going to have to wait for the replay on this one. I can't believe it. Barajas must have dropped the ball or something on that play. Somehow not called a double play, so it's a 3-6 fielder's choice. Unless they called him safe at second as well. Well, this one's ripped into left field, and that will get down for a hit. Now rounding second. Actually, he'll go back to second base. And, well, I'll be interested to see how he was safe there. They called Barajas off the bag. I don't know where he was off the bag at. Seemed like a normal play, but instead it brings up Carson Hansen after the single from Liam Moreno. So a 3-6 fielder's choice from Davis Hamilton. He still doesn't get credit for a hit, which is good. And either way, Hamilton now on second base. Runners on first and second with two outs for Hansen. And the first pitch, a ball to bring it 1-0. And Tony Torres, I mean, that was a well-executed first pitch and pretty easily could have been two outs as this one is grounded softly down the first base line, but foul picked up by Nick Adrian. So a 1-1 count. And Hanson this game, 2-for-3 on the night. We're at 6:30 p.m., so I'm going to call this the night, even though it started in the afternoon. Well, it's certainly getting later and later in the evening as the Rafters have not been able to stop the damage from Madison. Torres looking to do just that. Right-handed pitcher out of southeastern Louisiana. He's pitched at the D1 level in a tough conference. 1-1 count in the mist for ball number 2. 2-1 the count, and 2-1 the count now. Got the scoreboard operators as well. Pitch on the way home. This one is crushed out to right field. Going back to the wall. This one is out of here. 3-run shot from Carson Hanson, and the Rafters double digits down on the scoreboard once again. That is the 5th, 6th, and 7th RBIs of the game for Carson Hanson. My goodness, he's now just a triple away from the cycle. 3-run shot from Carson Hanson, and a huge night for him. And that could have been out of the inning with the double play, but instead, inning keeps going, and it brings up MJ Sweeney to the plate as a swing and a miss brings the count 0-1. Well, Sweeney, his last time up, didn't strike out swinging. Instead, he grounded out 6-3, and, well, the Rafters still have gotten the better of the left-handed hitter. Gets a swing and a miss here to bring it 0-2, and Sweeney, he comes from Wichita State, and he is a good batter. I'll tell you what, you don't bat 288 over half a season for nothing. 17 RBIs, 3 home runs, but really, this game, he has struggled. Swings and misses as it gets away from Adrian. He'll have to make a long throw over to first, picking it, and again, not in time on the plate of first. Junior Barajas is getting nothing from that first base umpire right now. Ryan Starks over there, not giving Barajas any wiggle room, and so another runner safe at the bag as it's going to be a strikeout, but he reaches on the wild pitch. So MJ Sweeney over to first base, and Tony Torres gets his first strikeout of the game. Runner on first base with two away in the top of the ninth inning. 15-3 the score as the first pitch to Will Johannes misses outside 90 miles an hour on that fastball. 1-0 count, and officially the Mallards have batted around now. Johannes led off the ninth inning with a hit by pitch. Swings and misses at this one. Now a 1-1 count. Runner on first base is MJ Sweeney as Tony Torres tries to get out of this one. Felt like he should have had a double play, and then now feels like he should have had the strikeout. Well, he did get the strikeout. 1-1 count. Okay, this one is crushed to left field. Back at the warning track, at the wall, leaping. Did he make that catch? Oh, yeah! Royce Clayton Jr. robs it from the left field wall. Royce Clayton Jr. swipes one away. Could have been another two runs for the Mallards, but instead it ends the ninth inning. What a catch by Clayton in the outfield, and that is three away here in the ninth inning. However, three more runs come across to score for the Mallards. They score the three runs on 1, 2, 3, 4 hits, and the Rafters didn't commit any errors officially in that inning, and however, one runner was left on base for the Mallards. So now a 15-3 lead for the Mallards as we head to the bottom of the ninth here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Okay, 12-run inning incoming for the Rafters here. I'm calling it right now. 12 runs. That's what's going to happen. You know what? I can be optimistic. Bottom of the ninth inning, Rafters down 15-3 here on WFHR. And hopefully you're having a good evening as the Rafters look to get back on the right track heading into next game. And the Rafters right now looking on the wrong side of a 15-3 ball game. However, one guy who has not been having a bad night, Kareem Arusovic. Arusovic, 3-for-4 on the night. The one time he was retired was a well-hit ball to center field, but just tracked down by Jordy Lopez. Liner and a very hard-hit ball. Takes the first pitch low for ball number one. He has a 1-0 count. Pitch on the way here, taken on the lower part of the zone for strike number one. Brings the count 1-1. Hayden Carlson and Hiroto Kobayashi will follow. That's who's due up in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters down 15-3, and the left-handed hitting Kareem Arusovic at the plate takes that one for strike number two. And Arusovic, the left-handed hitting third baseman in his Rafters debut, he singled his last two times up, taking on Blake Barker for the Mallards as this one is crushed but foul and towards the concession stand as, again, Arusovic still looking for that first extra base hit as a Rafter, but really just needs to get on base. Arusovic has been good at getting on base three times today. Trying to make it four, and maybe he will. Hits one towards center field. Lopez sliding and not able to pick it up. It drops to the ground in front of him, and his fourth hit of the game, Arusovic. What a Rafters debut. Four hits on the night, and Arusovic, one of very few Rafters to have done that this season. It's only been done four times this season, twice by Mason Onyade, once by Royce Clayton Jr., and once by Hayden Carlson. Now Hayden Carlson at the plate, and the first pitch to him called for strike number one. Carlson in this one, though, 1-for-3 with a hit by pitch. He's been good at getting on base a couple of times a game early into his Rafters career. 0-1 count. This one's hit over to shortstop. Could be two. 6-4. Back on to three. And he is out to make it two. Fans letting him know that they disagree with the call. And, well, they were hoping maybe they got one of the, he was off the bag calls like earlier, but not going to get that same luck. And brings up Hiroto Kobayashi with the bases empty and two away in the bottom of the ninth. Rafters down to their last out. I can't say I'm as optimistic about the Rafters scoring 12 runs in this inning anymore. But there's still a chance as Kobayashi swings and misses at the first pitch for strike number one. And Kobayashi, 2-for-4 in the game. He's been having a strong night. Doubled back in the fourth inning. He singled his last time up back in the eighth. Has an 0-1 count here, sends one to the right side, and that could do it. Three unassisted, and that ends the game. Rafters back in the loss column, and they've lost now three in a row, and unfortunately, they haven't been close. Rafters now 2-4 on the second half, and the momentum not in the right direction coming out of this game. They drop both against Madison, and well, they'll hope to turn around their luck as they stay home against another tough team. They are taking on the Wausau Woodchucks up next. Game time for tomorrow's game is at 6:35, but before we get into that one, let's go ahead and take a look at how it all happened. Going to go and get right into the post-game show. No time to slow down. Well, I mean, I could, but let's get right on into it. I feel like it's more fun to get right into the post-game show. The Rafters end up dropping the game 15-3, the final score, and let's look back at how it happened. Well, for the Rafters, it was not a hot start. The second inning, Noah Marschke back out on the mound. He had a 1-2-3 first inning, not too bad. Second inning got hit a little bit harder. He allowed a hit by pitch and three consecutive hits from the Mallards. And then they had a bases-loaded walk from Jordy Lopez to make it 2-0 at the middle of the second. Rafters had two runners aboard thanks to a pair of singles in the second, but they leave them stranded at first and second. Top of the third inning comes around, another two runs for the Mallards off of Noah Marschke, and he had to be pulled after the inning was over, but was able to get out of it, allowing just the two runs on a sacrifice fly and on a RBI bases-loaded walk from Will Johannes. So that ended Marschke's day after the third inning. He finished the night three innings pitched, four runs, three of them were earned on four hits, four walks with three strikeouts. Well, in the bottom of the third, the Rafters again threatened. They had a one-out single and walk and then had runners on second and third later in the inning, but again, not able to come around and score. Fourth inning comes around, and it was a 1-2-3 inning for Jack Wiesinger. He was probably the Rafters' relief pitcher of the game, as Wiesinger had a shutout inning and was able to get out of there with no trouble, and it kept the Rafters really in the game. The bottom of the fourth inning comes around, and the Rafters again put pressure on. It was a hit-by-pitch from Hayden Carlson and then a double from Hiroto Kobayashi. So runners on second and third with only one out, but again, still managing not to score. Fifth inning comes around. Once again, the Rafters have a shutout frame. Brent Gallegos walked the first three batters but really fought back. Kept it 4-0 into the bottom of the fifth. Rafters once more had plenty of traffic. They had three hits in the inning plus a hit by pitch, but some problems on the base running made it so that the Rafters couldn't come home and score. So still 4-0 into the sixth inning, and that's when the Mallards really started to pile on. Mallards scored three runs in the top of the sixth inning to make it 7-0. Bottom of the seventh inning, once again, the Rafters do threaten, and this time they finally come across. Eric Harper drew a two-out walk. Junior Barajas, a two-run, no-doubt shot to right field. His third home run on the season. He's now second place on the team in home runs, only behind Noah Ruiz with four. And Barajas has played in just six games. He's already number two on the team in homers. He has been looking great out here, especially with those extra base hits. That made it a 7-2 game, kept the Rafters in it, hit by pitch, single for Kareem Arusovic, his third hit of the night, and Rafters had runners on first and second in a five-run game, but Hayden Carlson pops out, not able to keep the momentum alive. Then in the eighth inning, comes around and is another two-run inning for the Mallards. They have a two RBI double from Davis Hamilton. Rafters, bottom of the eighth, only able to manage one run to come around and score. And so at that point in the game, then 9-3, and it was the RBI single from Carson McIntyre. Once again, the Rafters had the bases loaded with two outs, and down six, they weren't able to do anything with those guys on base. And in the ninth inning, another six runs come across for the Mallards. They scored those six runs on four hits and no errors. They had just the one left on base in the ninth inning. Really took advantage of the Rafters' bullpen. 15-3, the score into the bottom of the ninth, and the Rafters go down three up, three down, despite a single from Arusovic, his fourth hit of the game, and that ended it 15-3. The Rafters looking back at the stats, Kareem Arusovic, 4-for-5 in his Rafters debut. Junior Barajas, 2-for-3 with a walk, two RBIs, and of course the home run. Eric Harper reached base three times, went 1-for-3 with two walks. Behind that, Hiroto Kobayashi, 2-for-5 from the plate, and a couple of other players who reached base multiple times. and just unable to get it going. On the pitching side, though, it really was a struggle. Outside of Jack Wiesinger, who I mentioned, Brent Gallegos went an inning and two-thirds, allowing three runs on just one hit but five walks. Jafet Martinez, one and two-thirds innings, allowed two runs. Both were earned on four hits, no walks. A.J. Buonasetta, one inning pitched and allowed the three runs on two hits and one walk. And behind that, Tony Torres, two-thirds of an inning, he allowed three runs. All three were earned on two hits and one strikeout. So that was the way that the game ended for the Rafters, 15-3 the final score. And looking ahead towards tomorrow's game, it is Wausau who comes into town. Back to an evening game, the Rafters will host the Woodchucks at 6:35 p.m., the Woodchucks still to be determined on their starting pitcher, but Jeremy Jones ready to go for the Rafters, hoping to keep up his hot streak. He's allowed just one run since his first inning as a Rafter, and he's appeared in three more games since that first time out. And, well, he has been looking good, a 1.8 ERA on the season for him, and looking to continue to keep that at a low number. But we'll see if he can, but that is for tomorrow's game. So Rafters Woodchucks tomorrow, 6:35. Pre-game show starts at 6:20. But that's just about going to wrap us up for our post-game show, as the Rafters, unfortunately, couldn't come up with the victory. Big shout-out goes to everyone for tuning in to tonight's game. As always, it's so much appreciated, the support that we get from you guys, the fans of the Rafters. And we could not do this without you guys. And hopefully you do have a good time enjoying the broadcasts and enjoying the games as well, despite the Rafters unfortunately not having the game that they were hoping for tonight. Big shout-out also has to be given to, of course, all of my coworkers here at Wisconsin Rapids. Everyone helps make this a great environment, as always, to work in. And, of course, to the coaching staff of the Rafters for always being open to talk to. Besides that, big shout-out to our pregame guest of the show, Tyler Pacetti, who joined us for a chat about how his season's been going and how he came into the Rafters organization. And it was a great talk to have with him. Glad to get to introduce you guys to him as well, and hope to have some more strong games from him his next time out, although he didn't appear in tonight's game. But that's going to about do it for thank yous. So one final time, Rafters 3, Madison 15. And from myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
Thank you. The fabulous Village Stompers from a short-lived Dixieland revival from the early 1960s with Cold Steel Canyons. And before that, we opened up this set from the album Legend, the man himself and his band, Bob Marley and the Wailers, coming in from the cold. That was the Eric E.T. Thorngren remix. Coming up, we have a man, another man who doesn't really need any introduction. He was the hardest working man in show business. He hasn't been around for a while, but he had a very long career. We're going back to the early part in the late 1950s when he still had a group with him called the Famous Flames. Here's James Brown with Cold Sweats.
About your past, I just want help. I love to laugh. I don't care, darling, about your thoughts. I just want to satisfy your faults.
And that was recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Kate Bush from her album The Kick Inside. It's a classic, everyone. James and the Cold Gun. Now, that may not be a song you've heard before, but it was enough that a band actually named themselves after it. That is no small praise for Miss Kate Bush. That's going to do it for hour one of Seth Bass's The Music for this week, everybody. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you out in the cold. We have hour two coming right around the corner, so don't go anywhere. Stick around. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6. 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. President Trump says he'll probably visit Texas on Friday as the state reels from flash floods that have killed at least 79 people. 41 others remain missing.
They said once in 100 years they've never seen anything like this. So I wouldn't, people are trying to blame the school. They're trying to blame the camp. They're trying to blame... It's just a horrible thing.
CBS's Karen Hua is in the middle of the tragedy and says no one is answering her questions on if and when emergency alerts were sent out to people's phones.
For first responders in Kerr County, Texas, it's been a harrowing weekend of searching and rescuing in the wake of early morning 4th of July floods.
We will continue to search our search efforts until everybody is found.
Officials say the death toll throughout the state has climbed and 41 remain missing. Multiple campers from